The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a day the Lord has made. It's a hot day in our neighborhood, but we are in God's blessing known as air conditioning. And so I am rejoicing and being glad in it. How about you? It is a good day here on Faith Works Live. My name is Rebecca Haney. It's always just a joy. It's just so much fun to be able to talk with you about Jesus on the air in a free country, breathing free with one another and finding ways to glorify him and to serve each other. So yeah, it's a good thing. And specifically, today is the day that we dedicate every single week to issues of life. And that can be an abundantly wonderful conversation. It can be a lot of difficult conversations because we also talk about the opposite of that and the opposition to that, which will not win. We are assured. But along for the ride, as is his habit on Tuesdays, my co-pilot, co-captain,
Co-conspirator.
Well, I've been out of the habit, it seems like, a lot lately. So
you've had a busy summer.
It's been a little crazy.
Tim Overland for Person at Iowa.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
We recognize your voice. I just thought it worthy of an introduction.
And I'm not
once
on
again.
Camera, so if Liam would just move her lips, everybody would think, you know, we're throwing our voice or something.
Yes. The special guest, Leanna Simpson from Agape, is just a friend and treasure, and so she is here as well to share some of the awesome things that are happening at Agape. Hey, Leanna.
Hey.
And producing our show today, because Ron Carlson does eventually get a day off.
Wait, that's not Ron? I thought that was Ron.
That is a shapeshifter known as John DeSaulnier. And it's very nice to see you, John. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad
well,
you're not...
thank you very much.
And he's found Ron's sound effects.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be... Katie, bar the door. as I mentioned, it's Life Tuesday, so there's a lot of really important things to discuss. I will say the most important thing is to celebrate life in our midst, in our own families. You got the chance to do that, Tim, by catching up with some grandbabies.
I did.
Pretty you know, important.
And my son said something very profound. I didn't think about this. So we went out to Oregon to meet Dax. We hadn't met him. He was born... March 11th, and Jazz was able to go out there and help with the other kids, but wasn't able to see him because he was in NICU and, you know, all the COVID stuff, and it's Oregon and all that. But so we got to go out and meet him, and, you know, he's, I don't know, what's the math? He was born March 11th, was due June 20th, so 14 weeks early. Mm-hmm. You know, here he is, you know, 4 months old, and you can just see him wanting to do what 4 months old would be doing, but body-wise, body size.
Yeah, he's age-adjusted is how they call that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
So you could see him just like wanting to lift his head up and do all this stuff because, you know, he's been, you know, out here in the world kicking, fighting all these things. And so it's just like he can be very serious. But, yeah, you know, but like my son said, it's you know there's things he wants to do that he just can't do yet because he's not that much younger than his cousin who, you know, was born on time and... Yeah, so it's fascinating, but it was great getting some grandpa refill, fuel tank refill. I needed to be not here, but not in the Des Moines area for a week and get to hold the grandbaby and see my son and all that.
That's great. Just fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It truly is. You know, our youngest, Elijah, is 6 months old today. It's striking to think about how much can change in 6 months and yet how it flies by. Really
yeah, and he's about the same age as my oldest grandson, right? Because when was he born?
February 17th.
Yeah, so he's just a couple weeks younger.
Yeah, it's around that
yeah
same
just
time.
A couple weeks younger than Remy, who surprised Grandpa while I was at work yesterday with a Google Duo call. And I'm at work, and he's trying to eat the phone, and you know, so and he's rolling and talking, and so it's just the stark contrast of all of that.
Sure.
Just being a few weeks, 6 weeks older than his cousin. You know, it's just it's cool, it's interesting, it's fascinating. You know, when you think about how, you know, creation and all this stuff God's done, and how this, you know, here's this little baby who, I mean, amazingly that he's even here. Mm-hmm. You know, and here he is, and you know, probably by two, I think they say he'll catch up, But, you know, I mean, it's just, it's an interesting display if you take, you know, kind of the personal stuff out of it, you know, loving him and holding him. But it's just kind of, my son put it was interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know the term for it, so.
Well,
I didn't even
in
know
our,
there was such
our
a
NICU
thing.
Journey, it was like a view into the unseen window of creation, because you mm-hmm. see all the development and everything that is that God has knit together in a woman's womb. We never even get to see that yeah. those miracles that occur.
It's a miracle.
It truly is. Thank you. I agree. and so it's a privilege. It's kind of scary, and it's real. It's never a part of the plan mm-hmm. when that happens, but it is a true privilege to be able to see that development take place right before your eyes. And to see, wow, this is how God designed all this to work. And this is how he makes us in our mother's bodies. And all that we have to do in order to yeah. even come close
all the machines
to
and
the way that God works, have designed our bodies yeah. to work, has designed women's bodies to work. Because, I mean, we're talking about pregnant people, Rochelle Walensky. Those are women.
Right.
women are the awesome ones that have babies. Let's just, you know, put that out there, because I feel like being controversial today. But I did want to mention, since there have been last week, you weren't here, Tim, and we talked about a pretty big story. I got all riled up, and it was our audience probably still hasn't calmed down after that. But it was a sobering story. It was not good that the University of Pittsburgh, it had been revealed, had been receiving millions of dollars in federal funding to do testing on fetal baby parts that they were receiving. They had one of the most shocking things about this particular issue, as if that weren't shocking enough, they were doing, they have their special requests for what it is that they're looking for mm-hmm. in order to test their treatments, medications, and things of that nature. And they're looking for all these different organs at different stages of development, from 6 weeks to 42 weeks. And the especially shocking thing was that they had racial quotas for which particular children's body parts they wanted, and 50% of them were supposed to be African American. And they had like the different breakdowns of different ethnic groups that they wanted right. to target for their testing. And they justified that by saying it was talking about inclusion and diversity, well, that we need to be inclusive about what particular humans we're exterminating and then experimenting on. Just as an update to that. So yeah. if you have thoughts on that, feel free to share. But
no, nothing comes to mind.
But a further update to that same institution and the same investigation from Judicial Watch and Center for Medical Progress exposed that this institute has used baby body parts that were harvested from children who may have been still alive.
Of course. I mean, it's...
And so they're now under investigation for that aspect right. of it as well in Pennsylvania Superior Court, the Catholic League is involved with that.
Let's see if I can be FCC friendly.
It's always a good day when yeah. you can. It's well, really hard when we're talking
handy
about
there, John.
These. Yeah.
No, but seriously, so a couple things come to mind. You know, it just backs up more of what Dalyden told us, you know, that they basically have order forms for for body parts. You know, here it is again. Pennsylvania. Seems like there was another place in Pennsylvania that, you know, had a really bad track record with how they treated women and, oh wait, killed live babies with Gosnell, same state,
yeah.
you know, and why should it surprise us? I mean, Lila Rose had a clear, she had an investigation where they had people calling in and wanted to donate to Planned Parenthood. Hey, I want to make sure that this money goes, you know, to kill a black baby. I mean, this is eugenicist.
And they didn't turn it away.
No, they said, oh, sure. Yeah. What was that? I mean, they would, and they did it. It wasn't like one call. They did this multiple times to test it. And so it's just harkening back to the roots. This, you know, abortion is eugenic. That's what is at its core. And so, oh, we want to just include. I mean, that excuse sounds like something that should be from the B, frankly. You know, because how could you say that with a straight face? It's disgusting. But you know, again, as you kind of alluded to in the open, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the evil and the ick of the world and its hunger, blood, thirst for death. It's just awful.
Well, and I know this is something that is really hard for anybody to stomach when we're faced with the raw reality of what we're doing, of what we're perpetrating on, that we have for generations, and the fact that people are profiting from it. I mean, that, for whatever reason, maybe that hits home a little bit for some people in a new way. I did see another headline about the head of Marie Stopes International. His name is Simon Cook, and he was paid $525,000 in 1 year, and they got a performance bonus because his organization killed nearly 5 million babies, and they call that performance bonus. It's very effective. And so we're going to give you more money on top of that because you're being very effective.
But they're saying that doesn't happen, and Abby Johnson told us that that happened, and here it is again. So, you know, I know we see these things and we get so mad and we get so worked up, but why should we be surprised? I mean, again, this is an organization, or not even an organization, Stopes and Planned Parenthood aren't directly related, but we're talking about an industry that is just, you know, awash in evil. Why should we be? That's why I've always talked about these, you know, abortion restrictive things. Well, we want to make sure that they're, you know, under 20 weeks. We're going to trust a guy that's getting ready to kill a child to not lie for money
about the age
of
the child?
Are we kidding?
Yeah.
You know, it's so, of course they're lying, and we keep catching them, and people don't care. And I just saw something this week. I don't remember where it came from, but, you know, some maybe it's, I don't remember if it was the Vatican or if it was another large Christian denomination saying, well, yeah, you should get vaccinated. You know, those fetal lines that's really shouldn't play a matter. And because they're so old and they're, you know, it's like, you know, so now that, you know, church is glomming onto this stuff. And so how's somebody to know, right? I mean, when you've got the leaders of your faith telling you, oh, no, this is okay. You know, that's all right. I mean, the other vaccines have this kind of stuff in it. So you're being a hypocrite.
Well, if there's one thing we need, it is moral clarity from the people of God on the topic of abortion, on the topic of life, on just everything related to this. And part of the reason that we find the mixed messages is because of the mixed and double-mindedness that we're seeing in our pews and in our pulpits. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. And that it is one thing to say in the world that is in darkness, that is in panic, that is in, you know, the throes of just kind of an eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die sort of desperation because they need the truth of Christ. That is into that lie abortion can play easily, mm-hmm. right? It should never be numbered among the people of the church, but we find ourselves uncertain and unclear and maybe a little too wishy-washy in a lot of these different gray areas, so to speak. That has to change, I believe. We need to speak with clarity, as there is a difference between light and darkness. We should be that clear on this in love and always in truth. We'll talk more about this coming up on Faith Works Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Hello and welcome to Life Tuesday on Faith Works Live. I'm here. My name is Rebecca. Hi. And Tim Overland from Personota, Iowa is here. It's been, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to talk back and forth this summer.
2 weeks ago, and then missed last week and was gone all of July.
I'm glad you're here. That's not a guilt thing. That's just, I'm glad you're here today. And our special guest is the awesome Leanna Simpson from Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. And there is rejoicing in the land. It's good to have you, Leanna. I don't know. We were going off for a little bit. We had to exorcise a few of those news stories, get it out there. I don't know if you want to touch on any of that, but we are thrilled to have you here.
Well, thank you. Well, I do want to say something. So, first off, that is an absolutely horrific news update that you're sharing. And one of the things that when people ask me, you know, what are people like that come in that we see people every single week that come into our center and say, actually, I'm here for an abortion appointment. Mm-hmm. You know, they think that that's one of the things that we help with. And we do give them information. We talk through information, all the information. And one of the things I always say is nobody comes into Agape saying, I'm facing an unplanned pregnancy and I got pregnant on purpose to have an abortion.
Right.
Nobody does that. So I think Satan has really put blinders over their eyes, you know, and I think about what you were just talking about. If one of these women that I've seen the faces of was, you know, to go into the abortion clinic, go through with it, and then accidentally go in the wrong door and see that they're, see the product of their decision and see that that child was then, its organs were mm-hmm. being harvested, nobody would sign off on that. So, for example, if somebody, you know, I don't know if you've been in the line of honor when somebody is coming down the hallway before their organs are donated, there is a honoring thing. You stand there in total silence as the family walks this person, and they have to sign off on it. You know, if the women I see, if they understood the gravity of what they're doing, if they saw it, nobody would sign that paper saying, I want to, you know, use those organs. And so this is done in secret. This is done in deception. This is done, it's a demonic thing, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. Well, and when you read, the thing that struck me as I was reading the story initially, mm-hmm. once again, and did at the time when we saw those videos from the Center for Medical mm-hmm. Progress several years ago, is when you hear people talk about with one breath to say, this is just an abortion, it's a medical procedure, you know, don't think too much about it, don't limit it, it's fine, it's normal, it's birth control, it's whatever. And then say, by the way, from this, we can achieve human kidneys, hearts, livers, legs. Like, you, when you name those specific pieces, we understand at once the humanity and the travesty that we're perpetuating on the humanity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's as simple as that. Very, very true.
Yeah, you get, we talked even, you know, before, but you know, you're talking about an organization and a process that lies to you. I mean, you can go back and watch some of those Delighting videos, watch some of the other videos, you know, of when people get in, when they think the cameras are off, mm-hmm. what they say. You know, I mean, there's some really disturbing commentary you'll hear from some of these like conventions from these abortionists when they're all together, and some of the jokes being made from the stage and people are laughing and you're like, oh my gosh, that's mm-hmm. funny. I mean, this isn't some thought from a comedian. There's a lot of comedians that make sick jokes about that kind of stuff. That's sick comedy, whatever, free speech, do what you want. We're talking about medical professionals that have seen this stuff happen and they're making jokes about it. They know. They should know better. They realize, you know, they see, what do they call, the products of conception or whatever they call it. They know exactly what we're talking about.
Right. And one topic that they never address is they do, but very infrequently do they do stories a year after and doing a client story of how positive their experience is and mm-hmm. how happy they are with their decision. So one of the things we do at Agape is we do abortion healing counseling. Healing denotes an injury, a wound that goes deep, and it's a soul wound, you know. And as we hear their stories over and over, we hear them say, when I was escorted into a room, first off, in a clinic, when something is done to you, your spouse or somebody you love goes with you. Mm-hmm. They support you. They are isolated, alone. Nobody is allowed to go back. And then some people's reports are they're put in under twilight, you know, the lesser form of anesthesia, and then they're put bed upon bed upon bed. And so they hear other women crying and sobbing. They, like, it's a very traumatic occurrence. And this is the stuff that's not talked about because it's just a choice and it's a procedure.
Mm-hmm. Because Planned Parenthood is very good at marketing. And you know, for any of us here that have been, you know, involved in this issue, mm-hmm. we've all been, you know, if you've been at the Capitol, you've all been screamed at by somebody. Mm-hmm. And you can almost always, I mean, first you want to be defensive, I get it. But then, you know, I've noticed most of the time, my guess is that is a position to justify something that they have done. And if they haven't admitted, generally, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they admit that this has happened and that this is wrong, now they've got to look in the mirror, and then they're, you know,
right.
hopefully they find, you know, a place like an Agape or something like that where they can get the restorative healing. And as Rebecca alluded to earlier, find the Lord, because that's going to be what they need.
Right. The ultimate healer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so with some of the people we've helped through this process, you know, it's hard to imagine, but we have seen people literally a week after, 3 days after, that are like, what have I done? What have I done? It just that quickly, like the blinders were off. And you know, as we talk about this, I personally am not, you know, talking about this to like judge anybody who has made these choices, in the sense that there's always redemption. There is always redemption through the Redeemer. We have all done things that we are deserving of separation from God forever. But when you know the truth, you can't deny the truth.
Right.
And so, like, take down the scales from your eyes and see what is,
mm-hmm.
you know, the truth of what's going on out there, and the truth of these choices that aren't choices that,
right.
you know.
Well, life. and it's scary, because the truth has its consequences. Sometimes it feels like it hurts too much, because then we'll have to be accountable
right.
for the consequences of that
yep,
truth.
Absolutely.
But the truth is the only thing that can set us free.
Yep.
So we'll try to talk a little more truth on the other side. You're listening to Faith Works Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Have you been out to the state fair yet? Well, I haven't.
No.
So you're a little
going
cooler
today,
than
this.
I am. All right. I just wanted to mention, Tim, that you should go say hi to the fine folks out at the Iowans for Life booth.
I will. I'm sure I will run into Maggie and our friends.
Yes. And they're doing amazing work, even in the heat. Although I think they're in the AC. So that's, again, experiencing God's bountiful blessing of air conditioning, and pretty close to the cookies. So, yeah, it's just a great day at the fair. And I just am proud of them for standing for life. They have been for 30 years and engaging this discussion. There is momentum going on in the state of Iowa. And so that momentum needs to keep going. The only way that that happens is when we enter the conversation. Because otherwise, you know, everything that we just talked about, the deception, the evil that is running rampant in our society, that is basically controlling a lot of people's minds and saying, oh, this is no big deal. You know, it's not really baby, but if it is, then we can profit from it. So that's happening over on the side. And, you know, this isn't about women's health, but it's really about abortion. And so it's confusion. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just awful and evil. So into that, God's people must step in and provide the light of the truth, the light of love, the light of that of freedom that can set us free. Again, the truth is the only thing that can do that. But we must do so in a compassionate and wise way. So uncompromising, but always compassionate. Mm-hmm. And I think they strike a wonderful balance on that at Iowans for Life as well. So go say hi when you're out at the state fair. Another place where I think truth and compassion meet wonderfully well and exemplified is Agape, the fine folks there. Leanna Simpson is our guest. And I know a lot of amazing things happen at Agape every single day. Mm-hmm. And it can be pretty challenging, because it's not as though there's any sort of tough story or, I don't know, exceptions. When we talk about exceptions, you guys are familiar with and have seen probably every possible scenario that we can imagine, and probably some we can't.
Absolutely. We're seeing it every day. So I was just talking to somebody right before I came here, and I was talking about how, you know, when Jesus in the New Testament would go to a town, the lame, the lepers, the blind, the broken, would come to healing. And every single day, that's just kind of what I envision on the corner of MLK and Bennett. I swing open the doors and I'm like, Jesus, bring the broken. And here we will introduce them to the healer. And we will try to walk them down the path of redemption, restoration, hope, care through tangible things, mm-hmm. whether it's physical, physically addressing housing and whatever ancillary type of things are making them be forced into decision that I'm not kidding. 99% of the time, they do not want to make. Mm-hmm. They don't want to make a life-ending decision, but it's because of, well, I'm in a unstable housing, I don't have somewhere to live, I'm addicted, I don't have a job, whatever it is, there's hundreds of different scenarios. That is what they feel like they're forced to do. So mm-hmm. let's peel all that back and let's provide tangible options. Let's sit next to you and let's show you love, the love of Jesus. So...
Well, and that's the thing that truly transforms, but it's also mm-hmm. easier said than done.
I think
a lot of us are comfortable with loving our neighbor mm-hmm. from way over there. Mm-hmm. But when you're stepping in and walking alongside them and they're truly in crisis moment, they need real practical help. That gets real, really fast. And it means that we may be uncomfortable. It shakes us up out of our normal. But that's exactly what Christ calls us to do.
Right. Absolutely. If you're in these shoes, if you can imagine, seeing somebody who comes in and says, I'm in an unstable situation again. I feel like I only have one option. And you're listening to her story. And as she's relaying the last 5-10 years of her life, you realize this is the sixth time she's facing an unplanned pregnancy. And the other five have ended in termination. And to realize in that moment, how do I love her mm-hmm. well? It's not easy, but then just putting yourself and realizing without Christ, who am I to say where I would be without forgiveness, without redemption? And he can redeem every story. So there's that hope. We have that eternal hope that it doesn't matter who we see or what things we hear, we know that there is always hope. Mm-hmm. Within, Christ. So
it struck me the other day as I was thinking about it. It can be hard to look at someone differently if you've, thought you had a good relationship and then suddenly they do something unexpected that is, I don't know, maybe betrayed you in some way. And like, oh, how can I see them in the same way? How can I really trust them, love them, etc.? And I realized, or I guess it was brought to new clarity, that Jesus already knew that, knew every single thing, every rebellion, every way that we would spit on him, betray him, stab him in the back, basically say, I don't need you. I don't want you. Turn away from him before the foundation of the world. He knew that. And he still said, I will give my life for you. He still said, I will love you unto death. I will love you enough to defeat death. And just something about that just floored me for like an hour. That's all I could think about. Like, okay, Lord, how do I do that?
Absolutely.
How do I do that? How do I love my enemy to that extent? And I'm not saying I'm there. It's just, it brings it to new weight. That is what he has called us to do. It's not to love the pretty and it's not to love the comfortable and the lovable and the nice and the popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they need to be loved too. That's great.
Right.
It's the people that are difficult to love because that's who we are.
Right.
And he does that. And so we are called to do likewise. And again, it's easier mm-hmm. said than done. But I know that God is working through the love of your ministry specifically. And you guys have that reputation. Mm-hmm. This is where people help you.
Yes.
This is where people care about you.
Right. I mean, yesterday, the funniest, weirdest thing happened. We had two puppies show up in our lawn, two little tiny puppies. And they showed up in our lawn and we're like, oh, it's puppies. And I'm like, oh, my word. Now we get the reputation. Not only are we saving the people, we're saving the puppies. and I'm
That's
like,
awesome.
Now we're going to start having puppies dropped off every day.
Whoa, my wife's listening. Can we edit that back part out?
One?
We do not need no
they
puppies.
They need to get home
no
in
puppies.
Grimes.
No.
So I just thought, oh, that is so God. Like, yeah, so put a smile on my face. I was talking to a gal today, and this is the kind of story that keeps you going. So we see a lot of loss and a lot of like, wow, Satan won this battle.
Mm.
But then, and sometimes it is discouraging. There are times that, you know, we just are in our offices crying, each of us, because it's like, we won this battle today. But God always shows us he wins the war.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I was talking to somebody today, a client, and you don't know often the end of the story. We're trying to do, and I can get into the details some other time, but get into tracking better, because I think when people are like, oh, we were able to save 1,000 lives, like, how are you actually tracking that? How do you actually know? So we've got some things in place that are really cool that we're able to track those more consistently. But today I was talking to somebody who had been abortion-minded, came in a very volatile life situation, made a lot of bad mistakes, and she's like, I guess abortion is the thing. And her boyfriend's like, yep, I'll pay for it. And so anyway, her journey from that point forward led to just this emotional like tug of war of what do I do? And she placed her son for adoption. She had him. It's such a powerful story. And she's like, it reminds me of that story in the Bible, that one where that priest, honored that gal that's like, I'll give him back to you, Lord, because, and I said, Hannah? And she's like, yes, that's the one. And I said, she's like, that's what I felt like. I prayed to God and I said, in this moment, I don't know what to do, but I will choose to give him back to you and you decide. You decide what to do. And she's like, and then I find out that my son went to a pastor. And she's like, how cool is that, knowing that he truly will be raised up in the truth? And it's like, okay, today's a good day. Today's another good day.
Yep.
So, super cool.
That's awesome.
And now we all have lumps in our throats, so it's probably time to take a break.
Not good on radio, but that's wonderful. Beautiful way. And that's the work of God.
Yeah.
Like, only he could put all those pieces together.
Absolutely.
And he's so good that he knits our stories all together. No matter what evil men intend, evil, mm-hmm. you know, the desires of the dark cannot overcome the light, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And God is at work in each and every single story. And so for us to be able to see people and look on them and love them and see them with the way that God sees them, with his eyes, that is basically why we're doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why exactly. You do what you do. Leanna Simpson at Agape. Check out their amazing mission and ministry at agapedsm.com. There's also an event coming up that you can participate in. It's actually coming up pretty quick. So we'll talk about that when we return.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Brought to you by our friends at Animus Beef, who are just passionate about doing what they do in an excellent way. They they're just great at raising happy cows, which make better burgers, and it is delicious. It is excellent quality. You won't find better value. You can get your beef directly from the farm. It's a little bit different than going to the grocery store, but they can walk you through the process. And it, let me just tell you, I highly recommend it. Our whole family recommends Animus Beef. But in this day and age, you just really have to try it for yourself. You don't want to take my word for it. Go to animusbeef.com and you can look at some of the different packages and bundles that they might have, whether you need half a cow for your family's needs, or you don't have the freezer space for that and you just need you know, something maybe a little bit smaller, they can accommodate. They also have snack sticks as well that I really want to try. I have yet to try them. But if it's like everything else that they do, it's awesome. So I'm excited about that.
Aren't Check they out, at the Indianola Farmers Market?
They
I think
are.
I see.
They are yeah. on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you're in the Indianola area, then they've just been having tons of fun, even though they're melting in the heat half the time. But that's dedication.
Yeah.
They got to get the people the tasty food. And so, again, if you want to get your hands on some, if you go to the Indianola Farmers Market, you can get it there. But you can also go to onemusbeef.com, O-H-N-E-M-U-S-beef.com.
Rebecca, I have breaking news.
Ooh.
This might ruin people's day. I'm sorry. But the Nabisco...
That's a preface. Great.
The Nabisco workers who make your Oreos and Ritz crackers are on strike.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, dear.
So...
No.
So there'll be a kink in the supply line.
Probably going to... Your Oreos, you better hoard Oreos.
That is a bad idea. Don't go out there.
If you eat Oreos... You better hoard them.
Okay. The Oreos I'm on board with are like the traditional or the double stuffed.
Yeah.
All the crazy flavors that are out there, no bueno. I do not agree.
Right.
I am offended by the amount of Oreo flavors that there are. I remember tasting one. And it was like a mystery Oreo. And so everyone in the it brought it to the radio station.
Sure.
Like, everybody try the mystery Oreos. Like, this tastes like Juicy Fruit for 15 seconds and then it's done. Yeah. Why would you do this to my Oreo? And I have trust issues now.
I hear you.
As you should.
I just figured that everybody would want to know.
Thank you.
This is
thank you for that.
Less than an hour old. I don't eat a lot of carbs, but I know a lot of people that eat Oreos.
You're speaking out for the Oreos.
I'm Oreos.
On behalf of the Oreos.
And Ritz. Exactly. I mean, Ritz crackers. You know, when I eat crackers, they weren't bad. Ritz
give
and peanut
the people
butter.
What they want to give me my Oreos. I don't know. They're on strike.
The man is holding them down. The Oreos are...
I just had a vision. I know it's not the same, but like the Keebler elves out there with tiny little picket signs. What's next?
I think they do have something similar to the Keebler elves. It's Nabisco, but, you know.
Oh, man.
Anyway, sorry.
So,
sorry, that was the ditch we just went in.
That was an unsponsored rabbit trail. Exactly. Leanna, thank you for bringing us back.
Stay on target.
Yes, that is what we need. Thank you. Leanna Simpson from Agape has been our gracious guest for this hour. And Leanna, before we... go down another rabbit trail. Let's make sure that we let people know that you guys have a banquet coming up, a special event on September 28th. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So anybody that would like to attend the banquet, get their church involved, their ladies group, have people that would be passionate about hearing what we're doing and really move this mission forward, go to www.agapedsm.com. And at the top, there's a little banner and it says register now. September 28th at the Airport Holiday Inn on the south side, 6:30. You can start checking in. And we are hoping for 800 people. And registration is going very, very well. So get your registration in today. We're super excited. So we're hoping this night is just a night of encouragement. We want to lift the name of the Lord high and just see, you know, share what he is doing with this specific ministry and this mission. And really, we can't do this alone. Jesus had his disciples behind him throughout history. There has been, God has risen up groups of people to stand for different causes and to move his mission and his ministry. He will not be thwarted. And so we just want to say, you're our people. Help us move this forward. Mm-hmm. Hoorah. Get on your horse. Go into battle. We are holding the line and we are doing it for the name of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So, it'll be super fun. We're super excited. Some really inspiring testimonies and yeah.
Just a fun night. A fun life-affirming night.
Yes, absolutely. Excellent. Dig out your dresses, your Sunday best, get some good food.
Is it a formal dress code?
Well, yeah, wear a dress. Do you have a pretty one?
A gown? Do we need ball gowns and tuxedos? Because I can do that. I know.
It's kind of fun. I thought about it. I was like, ooh, that might be fun. Hollywood.
But, ooh.
That would be
a red carpet event kind of style.
That would be super fun, wouldn't it? So we aren't quite up to that. No tuxes needed.
Okay.
But yeah, shirt and tie would be nice.
Yeah, take a shower. Like,
yeah.
Clean up.
Come on, Tim. Just pull it together, man.
Right. Right. Sitting over here minding my own business.
You clean up
saving
fine.
Up for the
you
Oreos.
Have a tie. You're fine.
You're still pining over the Oreos.
I'm sorry. Let's distract you. Anyway, agapedsm.com annual banquet, moving forward together on September 28th. Register now. I just went to your website. It is that easy. You just click the register now button, yep, and there you are.
Yeah.
So
super
perfect.
Simple.
And that's
awesome.
A wonderful way to support this ministry that is well worth supporting. You've heard us talk a bit in the past, but every time you come in, Leanna, I'm so impressed and surprised and just grateful for the stories that you're sharing, lives that are changed, because it's not just theory. When we talk about abortion or being pro-life versus anti-life, I guess you'd say, I mean, that's just that can get stuck in the theoretical or the political all too often.
Right.
So it makes a difference when we see the faces, we know the names, we see them as people made in the image of God whom he loves, and who may be, you know, trapped in horrible situations, feeling forced into a decision, like you said, they don't want to make, and they need someone to walk with them and to show them there's another way, to show them the path forward, to believe in them enough that they can flourish, and so can their child.
Right. And one of the, you were talking about, it can be viewed as pro-political or pro, you know, it's a political topic or whatever. And I like to say, you know, at Agape, we are living out a pro-biblical life view.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that has me fired up is, you know, I assume your listeners are like-minded and they're pro-Jesus and all the great things. And I just really would challenge your listeners and you as churchgoers to really know what you believe and why you believe it. And it really should ultimately be funneled and sifted through the grid of scriptures. So what does the Bible say? Why are we pro-life? Why do we stand for life from conception to grave? And what does that actually mean in specifics? Is there okay exceptions? Is there those kinds of things? And do you want to dig into it
now? Much time do we have?
Like another hour, because
John's gonna cut me off here mid-sentence, I think.
But go for it, man.
Yeah, so I mean, and that, you know, personhood was really founded on this thing, was, you know, was the number of churches in this state, the number of abortions in this state. It's the numbers eerily similar, frankly. And, you know, our friend Rachel Owen, one of our very first guests on our first show we had, brought this to my attention about these numbers. She said, you know, if every church in the state would just take one of these young ladies under their wing, you would virtually eliminate abortion in this state. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, and I know, you know, you speak to churches and, you know, a lot of these other pregnancy centers, they're partnering with the churches, and that's what we need to do. But as you were talking about off air, sometimes it's so heartbreaking that when you talk to these folks that are churched, that are, they would be what we would call regular tenders once or twice a month, you know, they don't know how to articulate what they believe or why, or they're wishy-washy. And it's because, you know, we talked about this earlier, that you've got large denominations or leaders of the church or whatever, however you want to describe it, that are saying that they're wishy-washy as well. So it's no wonder, right, or they're not talking about it at all.
Right.
You know, and so it shouldn't be a surprise, you know, I think you articulated, I don't know if it was on air or off air, but you know, we don't want to judge. You know, that's like the biggest sin these days is judging. We don't want to judge. Well, you know what? We are to judge if you're claiming to be a Christian. Actually, we are to judge you by your fruit. We are to hold each other accountable. That is Rebecca said in an earlier segment, what's going on in the world is of the world. And we should expect that because we all used to be that. And so we know that. But when you say you're a Christian, when you're claiming the name of Christ, and you're still okay with killing babies? That doesn't match. That doesn't mesh up. And men and pastors have got to step up and lead on this issue. I guess that maybe that's where I'll leave it. Men and pastors need to step up and lead on this issue and stop letting women be out there to fight this. We're supposed to be the protectors. We're supposed to be the defenders.
We can't accept anything less than what God says is true.
Exactly.
We're not allowed to equivocate or change his rules to be more palatable. He is Lord over all, and he must be Lord of all.